So today, in light of the coming together again of our congregation on such a significant Sunday, and also in light of the fact that the news is dominated by now war, we want just to break into our series in the book of Genesis today and turn to a text of Scripture and to speak to this text of Scripture, which I believe is helpful and is a verse that will encourage us and challenge us as we think about the times in which we are living. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." And it's the signs of the times that I want to zoom in on particular today. There are others that I'm going to list, but it's the signs of the times we are living in that I believe are significant and that speak to us about where exactly we are at. Let me think, first of all, as a sign of the times in which we are living, and they're going to come up on the screen one by one, is that people are careless about their souls. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus spoke about the days of Noah. And he said, in the days of Noah, Noah, remember, was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was building the ark, and at the same time, he was preaching to the people. I imagine he worked by day and he preached by night. And he warned about the judgment that was to come. But Jesus said the people continued eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. They were careless about their souls. The same Jesus said in the times of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day when Lot went out of Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. They were careless about their souls. And I believe it's exactly the same. This is a sign of the times in which we are living in as well. You watch people nowadays. People are deadly serious about their food and about their drink. You watch them in the restaurants, the coffee shops. People are deadly serious about their food and their drink. Deadly serious about their families and about their homes. And those things are good to be serious about. They're deadly serious about their businesses, deadly serious about making money, but their souls, they don't think about. Their souls, they're careless about. The material and the physical is everything. The spiritual is nothing. It's a sign of our times. And yes, in a sense, when we see so many people here today, it's lovely, and it's lovely to see so many folk here today, and we kind of can be insulated against it, but the vast numbers of people are careless about their souls. At least by coming to church, you show some interest in your soul. But vast numbers of people across our land have no interest whatsoever in their souls. And even coming to church in and of itself does not mean anything. You can be sitting here today and listening to the singing or participating in the reading of the word and listening to me preaching and have no concern about your soul whatsoever. Maybe there's people like that today. Just here to see what's going on the first Sunday we're back again together as one congregation. It's a sign of the times that people do not get serious about the fate of their souls. And tonight we're going to be expanding on that in Revelation chapter 20. But secondly, when Jesus spoke about the signs of the times, he had in mind wars and rumors of wars. That's the phrase that he himself used. And later on in Matthew's gospel, he will say, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." I don't know about you, but I have been shocked this week by the events in Ukraine. People that look very like us, driving cars very like us, living in houses very like us, big buildings and cities very like our big buildings and our cities, being reduced to dust by the Russian invasion. And we're watching people preying on the weak, killing innocent people, aggression and violence, and we're shaking our heads and saying, why? Well, Jesus said, wars and rumors of wars are the beginnings of the birth pangs. The sign that Christ is coming back, the Prince of Peace, needs to come back. He needs to come and he needs to bring in peace, because if we are left in our world to bring about peace and security and stability, we're all doomed. James says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. The heart of man is hard. It is dyed black in sin. And when wars and rumors of wars break out, it's a cry for help. It's a cry for someone to come to end all wars. And it's a sign of the times in which we are living. Thirdly, as a sign of the times, Jesus may have been thinking about the constant growth of the Christian church, which he talks about in Matthew 24 and verse 14. He said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached, he said, to all nations. I'm always amazed when I read about the statistics of the growth of the Christian church in Africa, the continent of Africa. 100 years ago, in the continent of Africa, there were something like 9 million Christians. Today, it is estimated on the continent of Africa, there are something like 300 million Christians. In one continent, in one century. From just 12 disciples, this gospel of the kingdom has been preached throughout the whole world, and the existence and the expansion of the Christian church is a sign of the times. Jesus said it's going to be like this. And there's persecution, there's the banning and the burning of Bibles, there are martyrdoms, there are buildings being burnt to the ground, but the blood of the saints is the seed of the church. And across the centuries, the obituary of the Christian church has been written so many times, like it is being written in our times as well. We perhaps know the names of the celebrity atheists who are on YouTube, who are on podcasts, who are on TV, selling their atheism. Lots of celebrity atheists, as Psalm 14 says, out there saying there is no God. Oh, they say, we need to get rid of religion. Think of the wars that religion has caused. Really? Do you ever think of the wars that atheism has caused? Last century, it's estimated that Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, and Chairman Mao, between them, were responsible, all atheists, for 100 million deaths. In the 20th century, the bloodiest century in the history of mankind, atheists all. And that's why Psalm 14 talks about people who say there is no God. As if there's no consequences to saying, but you see, when you say there is no God, then there are no limits. Human life no longer matters, just your will, your way. There is no one righteous, no, not one. They are overwhelmed. They just devour people. The evildoers, says Psalm 14. And yet, despite their work, despite their words, the Christian church grows and grows and grows and grows. It's a sign of the times. God restoring the fortunes of his people, and we should be praying for God to visit his people. A fourth sign of the times Jesus meant when he spoke about the signs of the times is the rise of false religion. The context where this statement was made was the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to Jesus and asking him for a sign to test him. The Pharisees were a group within Judaism who were legalists, stiff formalists, trying to live by every jot and tittle of the law of Moses. We would probably call them nowadays fundamentalists. And they had choked the life out of their spiritual faith. They choked it out of them. The Sadducees, on the other hand, were the liberals. They didn't believe in angels or miracles or the resurrection or the afterlife. They were just looking after the temple for the money, just in it for the money. They were free thinkers. They saw themselves as broad-minded, tolerant of everything, and their broad-mindedness had choked the life also out of the law of God, out of the Bible. And we live in similar days, whether it's the Muslim fundamentalists who are on the rise or the liberal clergy in our land who don't believe the Bible. Easter's coming up. How soon, I say this nearly every year, how soon will it be before a bishop or somebody comes on the TV saying he no longer believes in the resurrection of Christ from the dead? Be a clergyman, a bishop, some bigwig within the church. Just like the Sadducees in Bible times. And false religion is so often on the march, and it's a sign of the times, and we should not be surprised at its appearance. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Let me bring you one fifth and final sign of the times. These are the signs that Jesus referred to. The last one is the person and work of Christ himself. This is that you might be sitting here in church saying today, "I'd love to see a sign. I'd love to see a sign, a statement that there is a God, something to be done in front of my eyes." That's what they came and they asked Jesus for. And that's why he calls them hypocrites, because he says, "You want a sign from me? Well, you read the signs in the sky, don't you?" You I mean, we have we paraphrase it in our modern talk. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. That's generally true, isn't it? If you have a lovely red sky at bedtime, you say, "It's going to be a lovely day tomorrow." Red sky in the morning, you say, "Oh, it's a very angry looking sky. It's going to be bad weather." That's in the Bible, that phrase. And Jesus says, "You folk are good at reading the signs of the weather. You sit down every night and you watch the TV and Frank Mitchell telling you what the weather's going to be tomorrow. And you love all that. And the isobars and the wee pictures with the sun and the rain. And you're able to read the signs. And yet you come here and you ask me for a sign. I'm the sign myself. Was I not born of a virgin? Was I not preceded by John the Baptist? As Malachi said would happen, Isaiah said I'd be born of a virgin. I was born in Bethlehem, like Micah said I would be born in Bethlehem. My miracles, look at the miracles I'm doing, changing water into wine, stilling a storm, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead to life, casting out demons. And I've just fed 7,000 people, 4,000 men, and not counting the men and women in the previous chapter. And now you've come saying, "Can I have a sign?" You're just a pack of hypocrites. That's what he says. Because you read the weather, but somehow you can't read my life, my ministry, and who I am. You see, the person and the work of Jesus Christ is unique. And the phrase comes to mind when people are confronted with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. "There's none so blind as them that will not see." And people who say, "I want to see a sign," Jesus says, "Okay, no sign will be given," verse 4, "except the sign of Jonah." What did he mean by that? Well, Jonah, we all know from our Sunday school days, was the prophet swallowed by a fish. And on the third day, the fish vomited the prophet out onto the dry land. He came back to life again, in other words. And Jesus said the sign of Jonah is the only sign you're going to have. Jesus was swallowed up by death on the cross. But on the third day, having died for our sins on the cross, on the third day, he rose from the dead. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose, we sing at Easter. He is the sign himself, the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What greater sign could there be? What more would you want? That's what he is saying to the people, and that's what he is saying to us. You've got your evidence. You've got it. You just need now to call the verdict. You just need now to say, he is the Son of God, and bow before him and make him the king of your life. And no wonder Jesus called those asking for this sign a wicked and adulterous generation. They're wicked because they predicted the weather, but they couldn't recognize the work of God. They were adulterous because they couldn't live with who God really was, and they're running after other fantasies, a God in their own image, a God of their own making. Let me close today. We are living, and I know this, and you know this, we are living in tumultuous times. A few years ago, it was Brexit. Then it was COVID. Now it's war in Europe. We feel I feel exhausted after the last 2 years. It's tiring. Church has been tiring. The media people, the musicians, we're feeling tired. We're feeling that this has been a tough time, and maybe you're feeling it's been a tough time as well. You just love a break, a time just to settle down. School the same, isn't it? School, workplaces, we're just looking to settle down into normal life, normal routines, and now it's war. Where did that come from? God's at work. God's at work. This world is not a runaway train. And let's not forget that. This is not a runaway train we are living on. This is heading towards the end. We are going towards the end. The end is coming. The day of reckoning, judgment day. And this is just another step towards it. And we are one day closer to it today than what we were yesterday. No wonder on the day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter ended his first Christian sermon, he ended with these words, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourselves. And I say to you this morning, Drumrea, Drumore, visitors, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourself. Don't live. You have to live amongst it, but don't be off it. Don't be part of it. March to another drumbeat. Read the signs of the times. God is at work. Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins and to set us a new destiny, a new home. As John Calvin put it, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might be made the sons of God. The Son of Man became the Son of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might be made the sons of God. The end is near. It's good to be back together again, but read the signs of the times. Get right with God. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Just as the men and women and children are getting on trains to do anything to save themselves for the Russians, I urge you to do anything to save yourself and get to Christ. Get to Christ. He is the Savior of the world. He did die for our sins on the cross. And he will, for all who call upon him, save them for time and for eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the way in which it analyzes the times in which we are living. We look at the news, we listen to the reports, and we just shake our heads and say, we can't make sense of it. But here, Lord, you have made sense of it. You're at work. The signs of the times are all around us. And most of all, Jesus Christ is the sign for us all of how you are alive and real. Help us, we pray, our Father, to flee to Christ if we have never done that. And if we have, help us to get closer to Christ. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame in days of tumult. For we pray in his name. Amen.